And we're starting here at the bottom, Yidbarach, from Bet by the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Ir Sheish Ba'avodat Kochavim, the city that has a Avodah Zarah in it. Now, Rashi has clarified for us before that when we say that there's an Avodah Zarah in the city, it doesn't mean that there's a pestle in the city. But what we mean, Avodat Kochavim means that there's a celebration, so Yom Eid, there's a holiday for that Avodah Zarah in the city. Chutzla, the suburbs or the surrounding areas, Mutar, one is permitted to interact with them. Haya Chutzla, if the celebration was Avodat Kochavim outside of the city, in the periphery of the city, then Tocha Mutar, to interact with those that are inside the city, is permissible. Mahu Lelech Sham, what is the din in order to walk or to go to that location, to that city? Well, that depends. Bizmacha Derech Miuchedet Loto Makom, if the path or the street, the road that one takes only leads to that location, then it's Asur. Because why else would a person be going in that direction? And that's what Rashi says, Mipnei Achshad, that we're worried about a person who walks that way or goes in that direction. Why else would they be going that direction except to go and participate in the holiday towards the Avodah Zarah? On the other hand, if that road leads to multiple locations or destinations, then it is mutar, then it is not a problem. So now we have a question about, and this is what the Gemara is going to address, is what is considered outside the city and what is considered inside the city? How far apart, or what is that differentiation that we are speaking about over here? So as it is, Hechi Dami Chutzla. What is the case of being Chutzla outside of the area? So the Gemara says, Amara Shibon Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Chanina, Kegon Itloza Shel Aza. It's like the Itloza of Shel Aza. As Rashi explains, Itloza Shel Aza is a Shuk Shel Behema. It's the animal market, and it comes from the word, Rashi suggests, itlis, even though it's spelled, one spelled with an I and one spelled with an aleph, comes from the itlis, which is the scale, or the way that they used to sell the animals, more likely the butchers used to sell the meat. So Rashi compares the two, or connects the two, and says that we're talking about here is a shuk behema. We're talking about the shuk behema that is outside of Aza. So that's the answer, or the way that the Gemara is describing here is, you want to know how close they can be. Even the shuk outside of Aza, that is classified as being separate from the city itself. Now, ikad amrei, bai mine Rabbi Shimon Lakish me Rabbi Chanina, itloza shel Aza mahu. What is the din of itloza shel Aza? Now here, there actually turns out to be a three-way machloket. Rashi believes the question here is, what does it mean, what is itloza shel Aza? If the people in Aza, who are over there, Avodah Zarah, it's an area, a city of the Plishtim, and they worship Avodah Zarah, if they have a holiday, is itloza shel Aza considered to be outside, meaning far enough away that it's not classified as being a problem of Avodah Zarah, or a problem of interacting with them? We'll see in a second what the Amoraim say about this. So that this place is very close, very proximate. So is that considered to be outside or not? That's the question. On the other hand, the Rashbam says it's the other way around. The people in the Itloza Shel Aza, they are the ones celebrating the holiday. And their holiday towards Avodah Zarah. And the question is, can you interact with the people in Aza? Can you interact with the people in the city itself, not on the people on the outside? And the last explanation is the Ri's explanation, which is that the class or the question here has to do with a shuk that they make for the Shem Avodat Kochavim. It's not a Yom Eid, it's not their holiday, but it's simply a shuk which is made in general has associated with the Avodah Zarah. So do we worry about the monies that are there? Are the monies that are in that shuk specifically dedicated towards Avodah Zarah, and the animals that are purchased are being given towards Avodah Zarah, or not? And we'll see in a second what the Gemara says about this. So now he responds, Amalei, lo halcha l'tzur meyamecha? Did you never go to Tzur, a city that has both a Jewish and non-Jewish population? There you see, Verita Yisrael ba'oid kachavim sheshavtu shtei k'derot agabi kira achat, that you see a Jew and a non-Jew cooking their, or putting their pots or their cauldrons on a single stove top together. Velo chashu lahem chachamim, the chachamim never worried about it. So now we have a cryptic statement, in a sense, as a response of Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Shlomo ben Lachish is asking about this Loza Shel Aza. Rabbi Chanina's response is, well, didn't you ever go to Tzur and see what transpires in Tzur? So we have two questions. One question is, what did he mean in Tzur? What was it, Lo Chashu Chachamim? What did the Chachamim not worry about when they placed the two pots together on the stovetop together? And then, if that's the case, what does that mean for our case over here? What does that mean for us in terms of the Loza Shel Aza? So that happens to be a three-way machloket Amoraim. So Abaya is going to be the first one. So that's what Gemara says. What does it mean that Chachamim didn't worry about them placing the two pots next to each other? Abaya, mishum basar nevela. We don't worry about Besar Nevilah. We don't worry about the Ovi Kochavim taking a piece of meat and dumping it into the cauldron or the pot of the Jew. Now, the Reef says over here that we'd only be Choshish for this if the meat of the Jew was better than the meat of the Ovid Kochavim. Meaning that he's not going to do this exchange or flip his Nevela into there in order to cause the Jew to do an Aveira. That he wouldn't do. He has to get some benefit from it. So if there's a benefit from the exchange of the meat, meaning that he's taking his Kchusha, his meat that is weak or not as good, not as fatty in those days, which was considered better meat, and then he wants to take the fattier meat from the Jewish cauldron. So that would be a reason or an impetus for it to do such a thing. But Stam, he would not do it. So we're not choshesh that he flipped the basar nevela into the pot of the Jew and to take something else. So therefore he says, Mishum basar nevela lo amrinan dilma mahadra ape yisrael achorei. Maybe the Jew was turned his back on his pot or his cauldron, vishadi ob the chavim nevela bikdeira the kavata. Right? And then he will not throw his meat into the Jew's pot. So that we're not choshesh for. So Tosfos asks over here, wait a minute. In any case of nichnas v'yotze, we always say that when someone comes in and out, as long as the person doesn't have to be there full-time, mishkiach tamid, or tamidi, in order to ensure that there's no nevela thrown into the pot, we just need him to be scared enough. How do we do that? We have a yotze v'nichnas, someone's going in and out. So over here too, the Jew turns away for a second. When he turns back, he might get caught. Why isn't the Ovid Kochavim afraid over here? So Tosfos makes a distinction over here, a very interesting distinction. He says, well, that depends. If the Ovid Kochavim is going to be afraid to be caught like a ganaf, that what is he doing in here? Why is he touching this thing? Then that's enough of a mirta, that's enough of a fear to prevent him from acting or putting the nevela over in. But over here, what he can claim is, listen, I saw your pot was boiling, I saw the stuff was getting burnt, so I mixed it for you, I was stirring the pot for you. So since he has an excuse or a way to claim that when he has his fork in there, or he has his spoon in there, that he could say that I was doing you a tova, and therefore he would not be caught like a ganav, therefore he does not worry about being caught as a Yotze v'nichnas, and therefore it's not good enough. Yotze v'nichnas is not going to be good enough over here, because there is no fear. The Ovid Kochavim doesn't have a fear. Tosfos offers the other explanation, which is Achsanai, to met a guest who came through, someone who's not always there. So again, there's a lack of fear over here, because there's no permanent relationship. It's a different type of relationship of a guest than a host. So because of that, there is no nichnas v'yotze fear over here. Therefore, when the Jew turns his back on him, that's enough to allow this guy to go ahead and switch the meat and cause a nevela. As we said before, the Reis says that it's only in a case where there's a benefit to the Ovid Kochavim that he would do such a thing. And he says, Mihai Taimo, for this reason, Shavkinim b'chol yom, k'derot shalano lif shiftotenu. We leave our pots all day in our houses with our non-Jewish maids. Ovdot ochavim, v'lo chashinim. We don't worry about Dilma Meitili sur b'tocho. We don't worry about her dropping some iser in there, doing something wrong to it, because Stam, she wouldn't do that. The only time she would do that if there's some benefit to her personal take that she could take out and replace it, then she would do it. But otherwise, we're not choshish that people would stam cause isurim or cause the problems for the Jew. So that's why we are allowed to have these non-Jewish maidservants watch our pots all day without any problem. So now, based on that, dikavata. So now Abai explained to us the one part, the response of Rabbi Chanina. Did you ever go to Tzur and see that the Chamim are not choshish for an isur doraita of the non-Jew flipping some meat into the pot? So too over here, the kavata, in our case, here it loza shell aza. Over here, the chachamim were not worried about dmei avodat chachavim. Now, according to the Ri, who explained that the whole case here is a shukla, but we don't worry about dmei avodat chachavim whatsoever. That's the one answer. According to Rashi and the Rashbam, we're not worried about the parties, the dmei avodat chachamim. This shuk, or this place, the other party is being involved. So if it's, according to Rashi, the avodat zarah is being done in Aza, we're talking about an enclosure that's outside of Aza. Or the other way around, if it's the loza, is the name of the avodat zarah, according to the Rashbam, then in Aza, we're dealing with in Aza, you're interacting in Aza. So over there, we're not choshesh for dmei avodat chachamim. What's dmei avodat chachamim? Is the money. If he comes and he purchases a behema from you, he purchases an animal from you, what are we afraid of? Rashi says over here that the behema that he is purchasing from you, what are they going to do with it? They're going to take it and be makrivit to avodah zarah. That that's going to become tikrovit avodah zarah. So he's going to use this behema for avodah zarah. Now we're outside the city. We're in a place where they are not worshiping the avodah zarah today. Do we have to be choshesh that someone from inside the city is the purchaser of this behema, or someone inside of the city gave this mocher or buyer, this lokeach, money in order to purchase this item? If that's the case, the money that you're getting, the money that you are taking out from here in exchange for behema becomes kadosh, in a sense, quote-unquote kadosh, becomes nitfas in avodah zarah. Because since you sold something that's going to be used for avodah zarah, those chalifin, the money now becomes demei avodah zarah. And if it's demei avodah zarah, then it's osur mi deoraita, osur min haTorah, because it says, b'lo yidbach biyadcha muma min acherim, that you're not allowed to take anything. Anything that is associated with avodah zarah, you're not allowed to keep, you must destroy it. So over here we have a chshash, or a safek deoraita. That's a fake of that maybe this money is money of avodah zarah. And if it's money of avodah zarah, that's an isur d'oraita. But it's only a safek, because we're outside the city. And you're worried about maybe it's coming, the money is coming from someone inside the city. So here we say, lo chashu chachamim. That's what Rabbi says. We're not choshesh. Just like by the safek of the two pots, we're not choshesh for an isur d'oraita. So it's over here. We're not choshesh for an isur d'oraita of the people inside the city giving money towards the, or to those people outside the city, in order to transact or to purchase them a behema, the tekrovet avodah zarah. Of course, kosher gain, that there's no restriction against interacting with those people outside of the city, because that's only a suffix iser derabonon, because maybe this person outside the city is connected to those inside the city, or maybe not. But that's only a suffix mi derabonon, because that's only an iser derabonon to interact with them. There, for sure, suffix derabonon, we remake it according to Abaye. Now, the Rabbeinu Tam over here clarifies that it's not just Tam that when you purchase, something's purchased towards avodah zarah, it's used to avodah zarah, that the money automatically becomes kadosh. That only works when it's the Ovid Kochavim himself that does it. When the Ovid Kochavim himself does that, such an item, he makes that exchange, then the money's nitpas l'avodah zarah. But here we have a Jew in the transaction, that's not the case. So Rashi seems to be hinting at this, and Rabbeinu Tam says the same, that the money itself was already kadosh l'avodah zarah. He was makdish this money to avodah zarah in order to purchase a behema for avodah zarah. And therefore, when the money reaches you, that's why it's problematic over here. But Abaye at least explains that the interaction between Rav Shimon Lakish and Rav Chanina was an issue about a Doraita issue. And Rav Chanina's response is that this is a Suffolk Doraita, and we are Mako in this case. That's Abaye's explanation. Now we have Rava's explanation. Rava Amar, my lo chashu lehem chachamim, mishum bishulei obdei chachamim. We're not worried about Bishul Akum over here. We don't worry about the fact that maybe the Jew will leave the pot to be cooked by his non-Jewish friend, and we'll have a problem of Bishul Akum. Now, it easily could be solved. The Bishul Akum could easily be solved if the Jew himself does some of the work. So as long as the Jew is there for part of the time, there is no Bishul Akum. So we're not choshesh for a case where the Jew will leave it, and then this non-Jew will take care of the whole care of the whole cooking of the pot. That we're not choshesh for. Now, Bishul Akum is a din derabonon, and therefore what he is saying over here is the chamim, we're not choshesh for a suffik derabonon over here, or a problem that might lead to a isur derabonon. The kavatan, similar in our case over here, we must be talking about an isur derabonon. So the response of Rabbi Chanina is, hakanami lo chashulem chachamim mishum e yomei dam. Over here too, what we're worried about, yomei dam, their holiday, the question about Yom Edom is, maybe hai ovid chachamim shach vater b'nei tocha, that we're worried about that this individual is out here in the Loza Shel Azza, who's outside, a resident of outside the city, maybe he's drawn in, or maybe he's connected to those parties inside the city. If he's connected to those parties inside the city, then it would be asur laseit v'latet in them. You couldn't do transactions from them. Laseit v'latet them is an isur d'rabbanan, it's our first missionary in our Masechta, isur d'rabbanan to interact or to transact with them near their holidays. So because of that isur derabonon, we're not worried about it, because here you're not interacting with the people of the city itself, you're here interacting with people outside of the city. So now you have laseit v'latet in him, which is already a extension derabonon of not being allowed to laseit v'latet in him, then we're not going to be choshesh that somebody outside the city, that you have to worry about the fact that maybe they're drawn after the people in the city, and therefore you have to have this isur derabonon of laseit v'latet in him. So therefore we don't have to be choshesh that this person out here is connected somehow to the people inside the city, and it would be asur to connect with them. Because Rava says, Abaye, your comparison is not a good comparison. How can you compare a case of worrying about him throwing an avail into a Jew's pot versus here where he's going to help his friend inside the city and purchase for him a behemoth of avodah zarah? In one case, he's doing something bad, he's doing something evil, and he knows if he gets caught, he's going to be embarrassed about it. Or at least, maybe there's at least some sort of feeling of guilt about doing something like this. On the other hand, when he's helping his friend out to purchase a behemoth of avodah zarah, he's only doing good. He's just helping his friend out. Why should he be embarrassed? Why should he be why shouldn't he be participant or be a participant to help out his friend? So over there, the cases aren't the same. The reason the Chachamim are not choshesh by the case of the Nevela is because there is some other factor or exogenous variable that creates fear. That's not true when he's acting on behalf of another party. So therefore, Rabba downgrades it to a din derabbanan, and he says that what we're talking about here is a din derabbanan whether you can transact with these individuals or not. Do we have to worry about the fact that they are part and party to those Ovdei Avodah Zarah inside or not? So we say we're not choshish for that, and therefore we don't have the Issur D'Rabbanan of Laseit L'Teta Him apply to them. We're not talking about Demei Ovdei Chachamim, but we're just simply talking about Laseit L'Teta Him to interact or transact with them, so it's only dealing with an Issur D'Rabbanan or Safek D'Rabbanan, and that's the cool over here. Now we have the third Amora, which is Rabbi Barula says, no, Lo Chashu Lehem Chachamim Mishum Tzinora. The problem in the case of Tzur was that they didn't worry about Tzinoro. They didn't worry about something splashing from one pot to the other pot. Why? Because that's lo shchiach. That's not common for something to splash from one pot to other. And if it does flash over, there's batel berov. So that's what it means, lo chashu chachamim betzur. Ah, what's the comparable case over here? The kabbalah over here, lo chashu lehem chachamim mishum lifnei edehem. Over here, they didn't worry about lifnei edehem, prior to their edehem, prior to the holiday itself. Meaning that on the holiday itself, the holiday itself in Azal, according to Rabbi Barula, Rabbi Chanina says it's asur to transact or interact with those people in the Shuk Ha'itloza, in the Itloza Shel Azal, because it's Yom Eidam of the inside people, and therefore we're Choshesh for those people in the Shuk. Where did he permit it? Lifnei Edehem, the Shlosh Yomim beforehand. So there are actually three different Isurim that we're speaking about here, and they are progressively more Chamur, and each Amora here says that Rabbi Chanina was only Matir this, or more and more. Rabbi Barula says that the Isur of Lifnei Dehem, which is an Isur Derabbanan, that you may not transact with them before their holidays, that Isur does not apply to Itloza Shel Azza. If Azza is celebrating the holiday, then Lifnei Dehem doesn't apply to Itloza Shel Azza. But, number one, you may not transact with them Bi Yom Eidam on their Chag itself, which is a separate Isur to transact with them. We saw before Shmuel says, B'Golah Inu Asurel Yom Eidam Bilvad. There are times when we say that only the Yom Eid, there is a separate Isur on the holiday itself versus prior to the holiday. So that Isur will stand. The Mishnah says that when you have inside the city, outside the city is mutar, that's when they're further away, when they're not so proximate. Over here, the Itloza Shel Azza is proximate to the Azza itself, and so proximate that on Yom Eidam it's Asur. Rabbi Chanina was only willing to be matir when it's Lifnei Dehem, before the Eid, because that's something that's Lo Shchiach. That number one, that someone outside the city would be connected to inside the city, plus he'd already be thinking about it, already be conscious of this Lifnei Dehem in the days beforehand. So that's Rabbi Bar Ula's position, and that's why Rabbi Chanina was matir. But Yom Eidam is Asur, and certainly a safek about Demei Avodah Chachamim, if you're worried about the money coming out, that might be Demei Avodah Chachamim, that for sure would be Asur, even if it was a safek. Rova comes along and says, no, not only is it mutar to transact with them, lifnei dehem, before the holiday, but even on the Eid itself, even on the holiday itself. We're dealing with an Isur D'Rabbanan. The Isur D'Rabbanan here we're talking about is not a Isur, like you suggested, lo shchiach, something where it splashes from one pot to the other pot, but rather bishul akum. Bishul akum is something that could happen easily, it's something that could come about, but it's only a safek d'rabbanan over here because of bishul akum, because the Jew was there, but sometimes the Jew will leave it and then you'll end up with bishul akum. So that's something that we have a chash for. So that's an Isur d'rabbanan, a full-fledged Isur d'rabbanan of bishul akum, and that'll compare to the Isur d'rabbanan of Yom Eidam on the holiday itself. So not only are they permitted to transact with the people in the shuk, beima, outside of Azza, before the holiday, but even on the holiday itself. Because we're not going to be choshesh that maybe someone from outside the city is participating in the Avodah Zarah in the city. That's a suffix, and we're not going to assume that they do. Generally, people worship their own Avodah Zarah. They're not connected, as Rashi says in the Mishnah. Right? They're not. Whoever's outside does their own thing, and the one inside does their own thing. Therefore, since we will not connect between the two of them, we will not classify them as being a single entity. Therefore, even on Yom Eidam, you may transact with them, assuming that we're talking about the transaction, let's say, Letetim, which is an Isur D'Rabbanan. But an Isur D'Oraita, he would not be. If he's talking about Tamei Avodah Kochavim, that we would not consider. On the other hand, the bias says we're dealing with a Isur D'Oraita here. The Itloza Shel Azza, which is out the city, certainly they can interact before Edehem. Certainly you can interact with them on the Chag itself. Because there we're not talking about Isur D'Oraita, we're talking about Isur D'Rabbanan, and we don't connect those that are outside inside the city. What we're talking about here, what we're choshesh for over here, possibly someone inside the city gave money to someone outside the city to work on their behalf, and now you're dealing with an Isur D'Oraita or a Safek Isur D'Oraita. And that's what Bai says we don't have to worry about. That Safek Isur D'Oraita, we don't worry about over here. So those are the three opinions of the Moraim about what the response of Rabbi Chanina was to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. So Malach Shem, we had in the Mishnah a question about whether you're allowed to go to a city. Now the Gemara is going to bring down what we have in the Mishnah, and then he's going to extend this. So, you can't go into that city on the day of the holiday. Again, not that the Avodah Zarah is there, but it's a day that they're celebrating to that Avodah Zarah. And you can't even use it as a road, as an access road to somewhere else. So as opposed to our Mishnah, it says that if it has access to another city, then it's permitted. Over here, Rabbi Meir says it doesn't matter. You can't enter that city whatsoever. Chamim omrim. Rabbi says, kol zman sheaderech miyuchedet lotom makom. If it's designated or it solely goes to that city, then it's asur. Ein derech miyuchedet lotom makom, mutar. If it's not directed to that city, mean that you have access to other cities from it, that's mutar, because the whole problem here is mipnei hachashad. We're worried about someone else seeing you and thinking that you're going to worship Avodah Zarah. If there's a tliyah, if there's a way to think and be down the kafschut that you're going to another city, there will be down the kafschut. Now, yeshav lo kotz mipnei avodah kochavim. Now, what happens if he gets a thorn or a splinter in his foot right in front of a Avodah Zarah? Lo yishchev itlana. He shouldn't bend over and take it out. Mipnei shenireh kimishtach avodah kochavim, because it looks like he's bowing down to the Avodah Zarah. Vim eno nireh, if it doesn't look like he's bowing down, then it is mutar. If he had money spill, his wallet spilled out in front of Avodah Zarah, he can't bend over and pick them up. Looks like he's bending down to, bowing down to Avodah Zarah to pick it up. If it doesn't look like he's bowing down, mutar. If you have water, a spring that goes in front of the Avodah Zarah, you shouldn't bend over and drink from the Mayan, because it looks like you're bowing down to the Avodah Zarah. Mutar. Again, if it's not, it doesn't appear like he's bowing down to the Avodah Zarah, it's mutar. Partsufot ha-mekalchim mayim lekrachim. So these are something that you may see today. Also, you have these fountains where you have a face of a person and out of the mouth comes out the fountain, the water comes out of the mouth. So they have these partsufot, these types of faces, but these faces were made by Avodah Zarah and the water used to pour out of the mouth of the Avodah Zarah. Lo yaneich piv al pihem. You can't put your mouth directly on the mouth of this partsuf, of this face, in order to drink the water. Vishteh. Not because it's dangerous and because of the germs. Because it looks like you're kissing the Avodah Zarah. You're giving, paying respect or giving some sort of a positive statement towards the Avodah Zarah. Kiyotzibo, similarly, lo yenach piv al silon, the person shouldn't put his mouth directly on a pipe to drink water. Vishteh and drink, not again because of the germs, but b'nei ha-sakana, because of the dangers. We'll see on the next Amud what the danger is over here. So now Gemara wants to know, my enu nireh, what does it mean that doesn't look like he's bowing down to it? Ilem eldo mitchaze, meaning there's nobody else around to see him bowing down to the Avodah Zarah, meaning that when he picks up the money, or he's taking out the thorn, nobody else is around to see him, so it's not a problem. Vamar av yudam arav, v'midavav, that you can't. Anywhere where the chamim say the problem is because we're afraid of what people are going to think, which is exactly the problem over here. It doesn't matter if it's in public or in private. It's a sur across the board. We make an objective standard which says that it's always a sur. It doesn't matter if it's in your house, out in public. We never let you do such an action. So over here, just because nobody else is watching, why should it matter that you can't bend down? Tosas actually here brings down a machlokas in the Mesorah about whether locha is like Rav in this case. He brings down that the perish of Beinu Nisim and Gaon, the ain't a locha ki Rav, that the locha is not like Rav over here. And then he brings some proofs to that fact. And then he says, Kakabauti b'Shabbat mipi Moriah Chassid. On the other hand, I got from my Rebbe, right, which is, we think that the Tosafot here in Avodah Zarah, Tosafot Rabbeinu Peretz, is that when he says that with Tosafot Rabbeinu Yehuda Matzati Nira the Reed, the Halacha Ki Rav, that the Halacha is like Rav over here. And that's the way we paskin that even when something's also Mipay Maradayin in general, we worry about it whether it's in public or not in public. Ella, Ema, Im Eno Nira Ki Mishtach Avodah Zarah, it doesn't look like he's actually bound down to the Avodah Zarah, meaning that does it in a way, his back's towards it, somehow he's able to do it and go down without it, make it look like he's bowing down to Avodah Zarah. So if he can make it appear that he's not bowing down to Avodah Zarah, then he can pick up his money, take out his coats, as long as it doesn't look like he's bowing down to Avodah Zarah. So then it'll be mutar. V'tzricha, we need all these cases that were brought down in the Braita. Why? The Itan of coats, if it just told us about the splinter case, then mishum de efshar the mezel kamei umishkale, because you could just move over and do it somewhere else. You don't have to take it out right here, you can take it out somewhere else. Well, ma'ot, by the money, you don't have a choice. The money's on the floor here. The only way for you to pick up the money is right here. So maybe there should be a mutar to lo, efshar, there's no other possibility, emalo, that there's no restriction. So we say no, that there is a restriction. V'itana ma'ot hema, if you just had been in the case of ma'ot, dimimona, because that's a case of money. So we'll say to you, you have to give up your money in order not to worship Avodah Zarah, but coats, the tzara, But it's talking about it's goof and it's pain over there. Maybe it would be mutar to do it. Emalo, maybe we say there's no restriction. Kamash malon, that both of those are restricted. Now, had we had both of these written, bishum deleka sakana, neither of these involve a sakana. Again, a thorn picking up the money is not a din in sakana. What is a din in sakana? It's drinking. If a person doesn't drink water, he's going to die from tzemet. He's going to die from thirst. So over there, maybe we would say that it's permissible to drink the water. Aval mayan deika sakana, where the sakana, if you don't drink, delo shati mait, if he doesn't drink, he's going to die. Emalo. Maybe there we would say that it's not, that it is permissible, and we would not make a restriction. Tzricha. So therefore, we need it in order to tell us that that's the case, that even by sakana, you can't drink the water. Now Rashi over here indicates, delo shati mait, but somehow, that sounds like that you'd have to give up your life. This is a case of yarag v'al yavor. You can't worship the avodah zarah. And therefore, you can't drink over here. Even though this is not Avodah Zarah itself, this is only Marat Ayin, only looks like you're worshiping Avodah Zarah. So even for Marat Ayin of Avodah Zarah, it sounds like over here that you may not drink, even if it puts you in a Makom Sakana. Now, that may be, it might be the answer here, is that it's only that till you reach the point of Sakana, meaning that you can don't drink, even though that will put you in a position of Sakana. But once you reach the point of Sakana, or Chayi Nefesh, then you would be permitted to drink. That's a possibility of explaining this. But from Rashi, the way it sounds here is that you are not permitted to drink from it whatsoever, even if it causes you to die. Now we have these three cases. Partzufot, Lomeli. What do we need the case of Partzufot? Now, even though the din of Partzufot is slightly different, as Tosfos points out, it's talking about a case of kissing, not a case of bowing down. Bowing down is one of the avodot that's asur to anyone. Kissing is a separate isur of giving kavod to avodah zarah. So maybe that's why we need it here. So it doesn't say we could have inferred it from the others, even though it's not exactly alike. So therefore, why do we have it here? Mishum dekabai lemitnei kiyotzibo. Not because of parts of all, because of the case or what's brought afterwards, which is, leyan apiv agabi silon. Vishte, you put your mouth on the pipe and drink, mipnei sakana. Somebody wants to know, my sakana? Sakana is a sakanat aluka. Sakana aluka is a sakana of what a leech. It sounds like a leech. You can see in Tosos he describes this case of what this item is or what this behema is. It's something that attaches to the body and then sucks the blood and gets bigger. So therefore, one is that is a sakana that we don't want you ingested because then it'll leech on to your stomach and cause you the same problem or and cause you major digestion or grow inside of you and it'll cause you sakana. It sounds like life threatening to you. Tarabanan, lo yishte adam mayim, lo min anarot, velo min agamim, velo bepiv, velo biyadei achad. The person shouldn't drink directly from rivers or from agamim. Over here, you can call them swamps, but these may be smaller pools of water. Velo bepiv, not directly from your mouth to the water, velo biyadei achad, and not with one hand. Because when you do it with one hand, you have to bring the water up quickly, and you can't look at the water. Bim shata, demo berosho. If you do this, then your life's in your own hands, because you're not checking the water before you drink it. Mipnei sakana, again, because of danger. What's the danger? My sakana, sanakanat, aluka. It's this problem, again, of the leech being in the water. If you don't check the water before you drink it, you might be bringing leeches into your, ingesting leeches. Misaila Rabbi Chanina. This helps the position of Rabbi Chanina. Damar Rabbi Chanina, bolea neima shalmayim. Person who drinks this neima shalmayim sounds like the water worm. But the water worm they're going to connect here, Rashi says, is the same thing. It's an aluka. It's this leech. And the oruch, it's garas arka, perish tolat ktana mutsuya b'mayim. It's a small worm that's in the water. When it leeches onto your skin, nitleipo, it sticks there, motzetzet adam, it sucks the blood out. It takes that moisture and gets bigger and bigger from that. So it's describing what we would know, or what we know as a leech. So now, if someone ingests the leech on Shabbos, mutar lechamim lochamim b'Shabbos. You can boil water on Shabbos because it's sakana nefashot. Therefore, you can boil water to help him out and to do refuah for him on Shabbos because it's sakana nefashot. Even though it also says that there's a possibility the person won't die from this. I mean, that there are many people who live a long time even after they've ingested a leech. Nevertheless, because there's a chashash sakana, that's enough to be mechalo Shabbos for it, as we see by other things, like gavyad and the gavah regel. Even though they're not immediate sakanat nefashot, and many times they'll heal by themselves, nevertheless, there are times where they lead to sakana nefashot, they lead to death. And if there's a if there's a chance that they could lead to death, over there we say, no, you can be mechalo Shabbos for it. So you see over here, I mean, this supports Rabbi Chanina's idea that there's a sakana involved over here, and therefore you can be mechalo Shabbos. There's such a case where someone swallowed a leech. Rabbi Nechemia, or the other possible gears over here is Rabbi Chanina. He permitted them to eat water on Shabbos for his protection. In the interim, in the interim, before the water is boiled and they can do the refuah for him, he should swallow vinegar in the interim in order to protect himself from the leech while he's waiting for the hot water. So Amar Vidi Ba'avin, Haimon de Bola Zibura, someone who swallows a wasp, Mechai lo chai, will not survive. It's sure that he will die. Mio, in the interim, what should you do? Lishkaya Riviata de Chalo Shamgaz, he should drink this very strong vinegar in the interim in order to postpone his death for a short amount of time. Efshar the Chai Purta, maybe it'll help him for a little bit of time. Ademafkid Abeta, until he can give out his last will and testament. So it'll buy him a small amount of time so that he can give instructions to his household. Tarabanan, Loishta Adam Main Balaila, person shouldn't drink water at night. Vimshata, Damu Birosho, Mipnea Sakana. If he drinks at night, then he's on his own. He's taking his life into his own hands, again, because of the Sakana. Now, my Sakana, what's the Sakana here? Sakana Shavribi. Sakana Shavribi. Shavribi is Sanverim of blindness. But that comes about from what Rashi calls a shade called Shavriri. This shade of Shavriri, if you ingest him, then it will cause you sanverim. So you don't drink at night because he's around at night and you can't see the water and therefore you might ingest it. Whether this applies only to bodies of water outside or even to kelim inside the house, that is subject to a machlokas. Rashi thinks it applies to everything and therefore he's not gores over here, narot and agamim, because it applies to any water at night. Whereas the Ri, on the other hand, says no, that it only applies to narot and agamim, and therefore he has to change the rest of the Gemara, which clearly says it's talking about kelim. Over there, he erases this and places another part of the Gemara in the Gemara Pesachim, where this is actually brought, and he says that it's referring to only water outside, but water in the house does not have this problem. So now, where it says, Imtzachi, if a person is thirsty and he drank the water and he ingested it, Maitakante, what should he do? Iika Achrina Bade, if there's someone else in the house, Litrei, he should wake him up. Velemelei Tzachino Amaya, I'm thirsty for water. Because that will scare away the shade because someone else is there. Ve'ilo, if there's no one else, near Karkash benechtama achatzvo, he should take the cover of the barrel and smash it against the barrel to make noise, to make it sound like there is someone else there. Ve'nema'ihu, and then he should say this incantation, the nafshei, by himself. Planya bar planita, that so-and-so, the son of his mother's name, Amra alach imech, your mother said to you, Izdar mishavriri, watch out for the shavriri, briri, riri, yiri, ri, bekasi chiyure, and white cups. So this incantation, which has the name of shavriri, and then drops a letter each time. So Rashi says that this lachash, this incantation, because it's mima'et volech, the shade backs away, as he hears the letters going away, he backs away, and it causes him to run away, causes him to leave the place, and therefore you won't have this problem. So if you want to drink, either you have to wake up someone else, so that the shabriri will not attack you, because therefore he won't attack you, or if you're alone, you make it sound like someone's there, and then you use this incantation to scare away this shabriri. Okay, we'll stop over here.